Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, this is Eric Dickerson, and you're listening to the Jake Brown Show.
And welcome to the Jake Brown Show, radio.com, iTunes, and Spotify. Jake Brown Radio, Jake Brown Show on Twitter and the Gram. Joining us now is a man you might know pretty well, Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 1999, the former running back, still with the most yards in a single season. Brush the dirt off your shoulder, Eric Dickerson. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I mean, sometimes you just got to brush the dirt off. I mean, sometimes I do it, and I didn't run for 2,000 yards. So, Adrian Peterson came oh so close. But you got to be stunting a little bit. You got to feel pretty good that you still got that record.
Man, you know, honestly, when I set that record back in 1984, I thought I would break it again. It just goes to show how hard it is to get to even get to 2,000 yards, you know, not even 2,100, because pretty much everything has to go right, and I mean right, correct. You can, you know, you can have a few drop-offs, but, you know, you can't fall behind too early, you can't get hurt, you know, so it was just one of those magical years.
And, I mean, you don't even think – in this game today, Eric, I mean, it's become such a passing game that the thought of 2,000 yards is crazy. We just don't see guys, one, play all 16 games, two, teams run the ball that many times to even get there. So your record could hold forever.
I don't know forever, but I think it'll hold for a while. You know, you're right. Because, you know, pro football has come – it's become like 7-on-7 now. You know, it's all about the quarterback. You know, the quarterback, the MVP of the NFL. It's a given. It has to be the quarterback. You know, they go running back committee, which, you know, if you're a true runner, a true back, you don't like that. I mean, you want to come out when you want to come out, and you might need a breather for, you know, a play or two. But other than that, you want to stay in the game.
Eric Dickerson joining us, the VP of Business Development for the Rams. What does that exactly mean? Because it's definitely a fancy title, but what is your role with the Rams?
You know, I got to know my role, let's be honest with you. You know, one of the things that I'm going to do is try to get the city excited about the Rams, and it started happening this year, you know, getting out into the community and getting the fans and the schools and the young kids, you know, the millennials, more into football. And because, you know, you understand the Rams have been gone for 22 years. And, you know, to come back all of a sudden and just like, hey, we're back. It doesn't work like that. And I was trying to explain that to some of the Rams head office people that, look, you know, it's like you had a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You left and all of a sudden you want to show up 22 years later and say, hey, here I am. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, and? You have to take it out and, you know, take him out and woo him a little bit. You know, you got to trick him. You got to trick him a little bit, trick her a little bit for a while. You just don't jump back in it.
Mm-hmm. And obviously this year was a success for the Rams, and they make the playoffs. A lot of people didn't think it. I actually bet a friend of mine, and I'm sorry to say this, but I said that the Rams would have 6 wins or less, I believe, and they had 7 or more. So I had to pony up, I think, $50 or something. But you guys proved me wrong, man. And Jared Goff was great in his second year here, and Sean McVay, I mean, just a couple of years older than me, man, do I feel like a scrub. This guy's coaching his team to the playoffs, and here I am hosting a show here. You had to be a little surprised by how good this team got so quickly under a young head coach.
Most definitely. I mean, you did better than I did, because I said they'd win 4 to 5 games. So, you know, I didn't give them that much credit. You know, after watching them for the last couple of years, even going to St. Louis and seeing them, how they played 2 years ago, when they first came back, man, it was horrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just horrible. It was hard to watch. You know, we had a great defense, but our offense was like watching Pop Warner, to be honest with you. And I said high school, and Todd Gurley said it was like Pop Warner football. But I just didn't see much of a future. until they hired Sean McVay, and I didn't know a lot about Sean McVay. I made some calls about him, and everybody I talked to about Coach McVay said the same thing. Man, this guy loves football, Eric. He's been around football his whole life. He's committed to it, and I'm telling you, he can help your football team. He's an offensive-minded guy, and that's something we needed. We needed an offensive-minded coach to help because we have some weapons on offense. We just didn't utilize them. I don't think they even knew how to use them. I mean, look at Jared Goff, our young quarterback who the first year they thought he was a bust. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I kept saying, look, it's unfair because, you know, he's really not getting a shot. He doesn't have the right offense. He doesn't have the right coaches for him, the right quarterback coach, you know, to coach him. And I'm just a big believer in that. I think as a quarterback position, you have to have the right elements and the right coach coaching you in that position. And this year, it showed just how good this football team became in 1 year.
And McVay just turned 32 last week. And you know this is a 32-year-old man's headline. When you Google him, and the first thing that comes up is Sean McVay's insanely hot girlfriend hits Maui in bikini from TMZ. So this man is living large, Eric.
Hey, I don't blame him. Live long. And you know what? You're supposed to enjoy your offseason. Enjoy your time off. He should be in Maui with his young, pretty young girl, but he's young, so enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean.
Enjoy being young because it don't last long. I'm telling you that.
Oh, yeah. I'm cherishing the single life at 26 as long as I can here, 27 next week. But Sean McVay in his 30s, probably get any girl he wants now. And he's a good-looking dude at 32. And what is it about him that made him so good? What does he have a certain moxie to him? What is it about McVay that the players respected so much at such a young age? Maybe it's the fact that he relates to a lot of these guys, but what do you think it exactly was?
I think it's his commitment to winning. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to do whatever it takes to win. And one thing about being an athlete, especially a football player, it's all about winning. I mean, it really is. I mean, you play that game so hard, and it's such a tough sport, and it's so hard to win those football games. And you're committed to winning. And when you don't win, it's heartbreaking. I think a lot of people don't realize that you take that home with you. You take it home when you lose a game. You just don't forget about it. And Sean McVay, I think he can relate to that, being a former, not NFL player, but a former player, quarterback. You know, his grandfather was, he was the general manager of the 49ers back in their heyday. So he's been around football his whole life. And you talk to the players, and the one thing they say is, you know, he listens. He listens, and he understands us. You know, and you're right. A lot of these players, they're young. It's just a young football team. And you have someone that can relate to you, but yet you respect him. And they respect him, and he respects them. So that's what makes it work. I really believe that was one of the key ingredients. And, you know, a lot of coaches that are head coaches, they have such egos that they don't want to hire, you know, someone that could possibly take their job, mm-hmm. you know, that they're afraid to hire that guy. They don't want to lose control. I saw Sean do a couple of things last year. I'm like, wow. As a head coach, they were playing the Cowboys, and he was over. He wasn't even standing. You know, most coaches want to stand in the front where they can be seen. He was over on the cooler talking to the offense, you know, because the defense was on the field. He wasn't even like Wade guy. He has this. I'm over here doing my thing. And then when the offense came back on the field, that's when he went back up to help with run the offense. And so, you know, he just, like I would say, everybody stay in your lane. You do what you do best. And I think he does that offense. Done a great job with our offense this year, and Wade Phillips done a great job with our defense.
And it's crazy to think that there are some players that are older than him. The head coach, yeah. I mean, is younger than some of the players, which is actually kind of cool, and I think we're going to see a direction of more younger head coaches as time goes on, just because how the fact you relate to players. And I'm sure players, you can't relate much more to a guy than a guy who's got a hot girlfriend on a beach in Maui. I'm sure players love that when they look him up. Eric Dickerson, Hall of Fame running back, joining us. Eric also.
I agree with you with that.
Yeah, I mean, if they look him up and they see that, they're like, damn, Sean, you're doing good for yourself. So I think they respect that. Sean also, Eric hosts his a Facebook Live show with Terrell Owens and LA Sports anchor Liz Habib, airing live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And working with T.O., man, I mean, you did that, and you partnered with him with NerdWallet to help athletes understand finances on their own. He is a charismatic guy, a guy that I've met before who gave me one of his prototype hats. I know he's got some fresh new gear, his fashion line. How do you like working with T.O.?
I like T.O., you know. T.O. reminds me so much of myself when I was young. I mean, I look at his career and some of the kind of parallels. you know, in some ways, not always, a guy that came from a humble background, didn't watch a lot of sports. I was raised by my great-great-aunt. He was raised by his grandmother, a guy that, in my day, you know, the media, when they wrote something, people thought it was the gospel truth, and they took advantage of a lot of players and a lot of situations, you know, same thing about players like me. I mean, like I told Tio, I've been you. I've had guys write articles about me was so false, but we didn't have a Twitter. We didn't have an Instagram, you know, and it's so unfair. It was unfair, and it made me callous and made me close up to the media. Well, I didn't like the media, and I'm still a football player. I'm still an athlete at heart. And do I trust the media? No, I do not. And I'll tell any media person that if I know you and I have a good relationship with you, if I tell you something and I say don't say it and I don't hear it again, then I know I can trust you pretty much. But, you know, T.O.'s a really good guy, a guy that to me it's a shame that he's not in the NFL Hall of Fame, and he should be in. He mm-hmm. should have been in his first ballot, and he should get in this year going in. And it just shows to me a joke how some of these writers are just a joke to me because they don't know what it takes to play football. And you talk to players who played the game and played against T.O., look, this isn't a popularity contest. Mm-hmm. Football's not. It's not an ass-kissing contest. It's playing football. That's what it's all about. A guy told me that when I got inducted, he wouldn't tell me he was a sports writer, one of the writers that voted. He said, Eric, I'm going to tell you something. He said, you were a unanimous decision, but one guy said he wouldn't vote for you and what his reason was. And his reason was because you held out. And I asked him, what the hell does that have to do with playing football? Mm-hmm. He said, nothing, but I will never vote for a guy that held out. So it just goes to show that, look, you have to put your personal feelings aside when it comes to certain things, athletes, and doing the right thing. And to me, this guy's I didn't play with, I played against, and I didn't like them, but should they be in the Hall of Fame with their great players? Hell yeah, no doubt. I'll give them their props. And I just believe that, you know, when a guy has played the way T.O.'s played hard as he has for the game, and gave all he had, that he deserved that, and he deserved it on the first ballot. But I think he'll get in. I'm positive he'll get in this time. If he doesn't get in this time, then it almost puts a black eye on the Hall of Fame. It's a joke. It's like you're gonna take you got Jerry Rice, and you got T.O. the second guy. I'm gonna take the fifth receiver. I'm gonna take the tenth guy. I don't want the second guy. It's laughable to me.
Yeah, I agree, and I think he's gonna get in. And I agree with you in the fact some of these writers and I like to do this because I write, but I don't put myself in that group with some of those writers. Cause some of these guys hold personal grudges on the fact that
personal grudges.
Yeah, and the fact that T.O. maybe wasn't great with the media, or he didn't give them a great story, or he was disrespect. I mean, look what he did on the field. His numbers speak for themselves, and I think he's going to get in. And some of these guys, I mean, they're in their grandma's basement with a box of Kleenex on their side, and some of these guys just don't get it. You look at what you did in the field, and you don't hold a grudge for something or a quote he didn't give you that one time, or your one time talking with him. So I think they're not looking at what needs to be looked at, which is how incredible of a receiver he was. And I think T.O.'s going to be pissed if he doesn't get in this year because we already know he's been pissed he's not in.
Man, if he don't be getting in, I was pissed when the first time. I'd really be pissed now because, you know, knowing T.O., it would just be like, I mean, really, it would give the Hall of Fame a black eye. I mean, it really mm-hmm. would because now this is becoming a joke because it's like saying, you know, you got one of the greatest players, but he's not in the Hall. Well, I don't think he deserves it because of his antics or because I didn't like the way he did this. You know, when I went in, the reporter asked me this. He said, you're going in with Lawrence Taylor. Do you think Lawrence Taylor deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because of all the drugs and the women and the sex and all that kind of stuff? I started laughing. I said, man, you sound like a damn fool. I said, what do you think? I said, I tell you what, line up in the backfield and try to play against it. And I think you'll have a different perspective on it. I said, hell yeah, he deserved to be in. I said, he's a football player. I'm sorry. That's what it's all about. It's not about how you live your life off. He ain't killed nobody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said, he was a pro football player. That's what he did for a living.
And it's not like other players weren't doing crazy things like him. And I don't think that should affect what you did on the field. Lawrence Taylor might be the greatest linebacker ever. So, yeah, I agree. I think the priorities are mixed up, and we're seeing some trouble in baseball with the fact that steroids are different because it's cheating. But, I mean, what Barry Bonds did in his career, even with the cheating, even before that, he was a Hall of Famer. So I think that's relatable, too. Eric Dickerson joining us on the Jake Brown Show. What about T.O. on the XFL? NFL. What do you think of the XFL? Maybe T.O. says he could play in the NFL, so why not go to the XFL?
Man, nah, you just saying that. I mean, T.O. can still play. Man, I think the XFL is going to start for another 2 years. Now, I don't know what happened in 2 years if T.O. be ready to play. But, you know, I keep telling him, I said, look now, you're 44 years old. I see. I know he's in fantastic shape. I say, but still, you are still 44 now. I don't care how you got great shape you're in. You're still 44. You still got that 44-year-old body.
Hey.
So
he believes it, though. I think he does.
He does believe it. You're right.
Do you ever just want to? Do you ever like want to smack him when he says that he could play in the NFL? Are you ever like, T.O., are you kidding me?
Let me tell you this. Me and T.O. got into a debate about baseball. And he said that he could have hit, what's the Dodgers pitcher?
Clayton Kershaw?
The last game when they lost.
Wasn't it Kershaw? It was.
No, not Kershaw.
A starting pitcher?
Not yet.
Yu Darvish?
No, he started the last World Series game. That's on the tip of my tongue, too. I can't think of it. I need goose down. I can't think of it. Anyway, so I said, T.O., you cannot hit a pro. I said, you sound like a fool. So we going back and forth. I said, T.O., I guarantee you, you cannot hit that ball.
It was Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish was the pitcher.
Yeah, Yu Darvish. Yeah. He said he could hit you. I said, you can't hit Yu Darvish. Seriously, Jake, we're arguing. I'm arguing. I said, T.O., you sound like one of these guys and say, man, I can go out there and run around and catch the ball in the NFL and catch a touchdown. He says, different. I said, T.O., it's no different. I said, you sound like one of those guys. So I talked to Kenley Jensen about a month ago. And so I told him, I want to set it up where he's going to pitch to T.O. He said, I'd love to pitch to it. I want to see if he can hit it.
He throws cheese, too. He throws cheese.
Oh, my gosh, man. That's going to be funny.
Oh, yeah. That needs to be on video for sure. Eric Dickerson joining us on the Jake Brown Show for a few more minutes. Circling back to the Rams, I mean, how insane was it to you that Jeff Fisher took kind of the credit for the Rams' success this season? Isn't that a little mind-boggling?
Man, you know, I like to say it was funny. I mean,
he was smoking something.
he said that he left him in pretty good shape. Now, I'm gonna say what I said all along, and honestly, I don't know Jeff Fisher well. I really don't know Jeff, and Jeff don't know me. I mean, I know him through, hey, how you doing? And blah blah blah. This, but I don't know Jeff. He played a little bit. He played against me. I don't really remember him, but I'll say this much here. When you make a statement by I left a team in pretty good shape, I always feel like that's that losing mentality. That's that we went 8-8, you know, we didn't have a losing season. 8-8 to me is a losing season. And Jeff's tenure at the Rams was not a good one. I mean, he never had a winning season. The run-in that we had, like I told him, I said, man, I want my football team to win like everyone else's team to win. I said, I want my fans to cheer for their football team like everyone else's team cheered. I said, it's no fun for our fans in Los Angeles to come to a game and watch this on the field. I said, that's just my opinion. And so, you know, we had a difference in opinion of it. And, you know, it got public. But I don't have any hard feelings against Jeff. I don't know if Jeff, because like I said, I could care less what Jeff thinks. He could probably care less without thinking him. It didn't make no difference. He's not my friend. I'm not his friend. You know, but like I told him before, I'm all about my football team winning. That's all I want.
Yeah, and I said if Jeff Fisher ever interviewed him, it would have to be an interview between 7 and 9 minutes because he was the king of 7 and 9 and 8 and 8. You can't do an interview longer than that with him. Eric Dickerson joining us. Last one for you, Eric, before I let you go. Super Bowl, what do you think, man? Patriots, Eagles, we got the Eagles going for their first ever. The Patriots looking to keep the dynasty going. Your cousin Ricky is rooting for the Pats. Who do you got in this game? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, first of all, I'm really disappointed in Ricky. I guess I got to say that. I'm disappointed if you say that. You know, I'd say the Patriots, they have a dynasty. They really do. You can't dispute that. They have a great coach in Bill Belichick. They have arguably the best quarterback to ever play the game in Tom Brady. But I feel like this game comes down to a team I think is a better football team. I think the Eagles are a better football team all the way around. Except for one position, quarterback and the coaching, I give the edge to the Patriots for sure. I feel like it'll be a good game. I'm gonna go with the Eagles, and I just feel like the Eagles are gonna beat them. why. I think the Eagles have, you know, the special teams are good, the offense is good, the defense is good. That's a well-rounded team. I mean, I think it was, and you know, I think if Carson Wentz wouldn't have gotten hurt, I think he probably would have been MVP of the NFL. But Nick Foles has come in and he's played very well. I mean, I think that the thing that Doug Peterson has done a good job of Nick Foles is doing what he does best, not trying to make him Carson Wentz. You know, I think every guy has their strong suit. You know, when I went to Indianapolis, they had the split backfield in, and I didn't want – I mean, I told them I can't – I don't like split backfield. So they changed it to the I-back. Mm. I think the same thing for Nick Foles is that they had to make some changes in that offense that fit him, you know, not Carson, because Carson is hurt. So, and yeah, I think you saw – as the time went on, as they played the NFC Championship game, the first playoff game, how he played, and you watched them, they dissected what was supposedly the best defense in the NFL was the Minnesota Vikings. They made them look like the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles in this football game.
And I hope you're right. I think it's going to be interesting to see if we see the Foles in the playoffs or we see the Foles of Week 17 who look terrible. That's going to be key. He looks like two different quarterbacks, Eric. I mean, you never know what you're going to get out of him. And we know their running game is good, but you're going to have to rely at him on some point. I mean, you know the Patriots are probably going to get out to an early lead. So we'll see. It should be a good one. Eric Dickerson, Hall of Fame running back. I know you're in Minnesota this week. Enjoy it. You catch him on Mondays on iHeartRadio AM 570 and Facebook Live with T.O., Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Pacific, and the VP of Business Development for the Rams. That's a nice-looking business card you got to have.
We'll figure out what it means later.
Yeah, right? Eric, appreciate you coming on the show, man. Take care.
Okay. All right, thanks. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.